islands of Scotland, to the spiritual splendor that is Augusta, grab a seat, grab a glass, and punch your ticket to the bar train.
My man Matthew, how great is this? Episode 2 of the bar train chugging along. You can hear it come through the hills. We've got quite a show. It almost feels like the PGA Tour, you know, this is supposed to be a monthly thing. It's almost like the PGA Tour loved our first episode so much, they said, you know what, let's move the PGA Championship up in July for the first time in decades, just so the bar train crew can come on in a couple weeks. How great is that?
Oh, it feels good. Was that old Tom Morris doing the intro there? I thought I heard him.
You know, Matt.
He won the British Open a few times, in case you were wondering.
It's true. It might have been at Prestwick, you know, the original Open, the birthplace of it, back in Scotland. Oh. Down the road from Royal Troon, actually. Been there.
You played Troon. You played it.
Yeah. Went down the road to Prestwick. Beautiful place. Small course, but beautiful. But yeah, that might have been old Tom himself. You know, something like the par train, it's got to be only quality, you know?
Well, the par train's picking everybody up. And like you said, we just got done with Troon, and now we're here at Baltusrol. And why not just keep going? We're making a lot of stops tonight. You know, we're picking people up. We got a lot to cover tonight, Ev.
What do we got, Matt? What are we talking through? What do you got for us?
Well, first, Ev, what are you drinking over there?
Wait, is that the cart girl again coming down the aisle? She always has great timing, doesn't she?
Coming down the aisle, you mean coming down the cart path.
There you go. What do you got? What are you ordering?
You're like, I stick to my guns. We got Plymouth gin tonight. No tonic this time, just one of those big ice cubes and a little lemon to top it off. So, I'm not exciting. It's Monday night, but I know what I like.
Hey, so you got that square ice cube or the circle?
I'm a square guy.
Okay.
Sometimes when you're drinking something straight, one is all you need. So
I love
it. You know, I'm in with gin. So
I love it. Well, you know, last time I did some scotch to honor the Open Championship, and tonight, you know, you're right. It's Monday night. Let's not get crazy.
Well,
I've got a little Lagunitas IPA.
Oh, sure.
You know, local brew.
India Pale Ale. Yeah, they got one of their brewery branches here in Chicago. Been trying to get down there. And maybe take the train down, you know?
Oh.
I don't know. But
I bet you get some free rides.
Well.
Honorary member.
Yeah, no, but obviously, like we said, we got the PGA, you know, is starting this Thursday. So, you know, we want to talk PGA. We got to talk about the Open Championship. That was unbelievable for a lot of reasons a couple weeks ago. We got a lot of stories this week coming in. I think we did say we were going to talk about Tiger on this on episode 2.
We are. You're holding me to it. We're talking Tiger.
I know you were dodging that one. and, you know, there's probably some other social topics out there. The Chicago Cubs are making big trades. I went to the Coldplay show last night. I don't know. I'm getting into it. So,
hey, speaking of Coldplay, let's watch the clocks here. Okay. All right. So let's start. You said it's an unbelievable performance. You are exactly right. We haven't seen anything like Stenson versus Phil. 40-year-old. What is Phil? 45? 46.
I think Phil's 46. He's got 6 years on Tiger.
Yeah, 46. What a performance. It was almost like watching a video game, was it not?
Yeah, I think that's what we said. I mean, as much as it was great to see Stenson get his first major, I mean, who was not rooting for Phil? I mean, why does it – people have their opinions about Phil, but he does things that Tiger did. I mean, he just draws you in the way he plays, and he shot 65 and he lost. But nobody was close. I mean, they just kept making birdies. They were feeding off each other. I don't know. I think, you know, I mean, there's been some great British Open duels, you know, Turnberry under the sun, you know, Watson, Nicklaus, shooting those kind of scores. But these guys did it all week.
All week.
And Ev, you had played Troon. You talked about Troon. And we talked about being one of the easier courses in the Open rotation. Well, they had a mix of weather. But if you look at everybody else besides those two, it wasn't exactly easy. You know, 5-under, 6-under, you know, was third place.
Yeah, and if you think about it, what we talked about last time was the wind that they had, I think days 2 through 4 was the exact wind I played in, where it's in your face in the front and behind you on the back nine. And I tell you what, they played it a lot better than I did. I was hacking out, punching out, horizontal all day long, and these guys were making it rain.
Yeah, no. You were talking about your caddy that day out at Troon. I mean, that guy took some good pictures of you. If some of the listeners have not seen the footage of you out at Troon or the videos, it's unbelievable. You tipping your hat to the crowd there on 18. I don't know how many people were around the green, but you were the man.
Man, let's be real. There was hundreds of people around the green. And, you know, those people pay good money. They come out and support you. You got to give them a little love. You know what I'm saying?
They love the American flair. But, you know, Phil's American flair just didn't quite do it. But you got to love Stenson. So, I don't know. I think it's one of the most memorable performances in major in golf history. I mean, that is – I'm going to be watching that on repeat, you know, on the Golf Channel when they show it. Because, like you said, it was a video game.
Golf's greatest rounds on Golf Channel. Incredible. Incredible yeah. programming. Yep. So, watch it all the time.
So that was great. And, you know, like you said, the PGA is now it's the quickest it's ever been here. It's usually a month gap between the majors, but now it's just two weeks.
For the listeners, because of the crazy schedule this year with the Ryder Cup and Olympics, it's got pushed up a little bit. And before we move on to the PGA real quick, can we just talk about how insane Phil Mickelson is and how good he is, yet how crazy he is at the same time? I mean, think about his history with two drivers in the bag, all these crazy tinkering. He changed his putting grip on various holes throughout the final round in bogey-free golf.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody's watched Phil's whole career, he's putted every kind of way. And I think he can make a case for, you know, for cross-handed, for the paintbrush, for the claw. I mean, conventional. He's used the blade. He's used the mallet. He even tried the belly. I mean... I can't do two grips in one round, let alone in a major championship.
No, and we don't want you changing that grip, Matt. You're already rolling it quite nice. Okay, yeah,
I did go to cross-handed this year.
Oh,
yeah.
And we can talk about that. Maybe we can dedicate a segment of that for the future. You know, really take you through that progression.
Yeah, Matt Cermak, cross-handed putting. Why you should do it.
So Baltusrol, Matt.
Yeah. Well, we're back.
Makes the PGA Championship even that special? It's weird. So the Masters is, obviously, you hear the music. It's the first major of the year. Same course, the green jacket. What's better than the Masters, really? U.S. Open, the toughest test. Open Championship, it's where it all started. Across the world, you wake up, it's on. You go to bed, it's on. There's nothing better than the Claret Jug. But what's the PGA?
Well, Evan, I think it's a good question. I think a lot of people think, at least us fans, this is maybe not the coolest major out of the four, but this is the professionals golf tournament. You know, this is pros only, as you'll see in the other majors. You know, they've got qualified. You know, it's the Masters is an invite, but there's past winners, so there's old guys that play in it. There's amateurs that play in it. This is professionals only. Now we're not talking about just guys who play in the PGA Tour. We're talking about your local country club pros, and they've got some separate qualifiers for them to get into the PGA Championship. But it's pretty cool when you see, you know, you get guys from New York, Wisconsin, you know, California. There's been guys from Chicago. You know, Mike Small, head coach of University of Illinois.
Sure,
he's played in this thing millions of times. So that's different about that. So and it's, you know, if you're a pro, whether you're you know, Phil Mickelson or, you know, a local pro at your head golf club or your driving range, you know, it's like a fraternity. So that I think that's neat. But I guess other than the trophy being the biggest, Evan.
That Wanamaker.
Yeah.
It's humongous. It's like the Stanley Cup, Matt, which I know you're familiar with, unfortunately, being a Blackhawks guy, you know. It's like hoisting that thing.
Well, the Blues will get it. It's just we're not sure when. So it's, you know, this tournament, like the U.S. Open and the British Open, it rotates every year to a different course. Usually low scores win this thing. But it is glory's last shot. You know, it's the final major, and it can certainly make a season for a player.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these good players have maybe not played as well as they'd like to so far this year. You know, you come out and you win this thing and you're going to propel yourself into the FedEx Cup standings and maybe some more confidence for the Ryder Cup, whether you're American or European.
Might even get you in.
Yeah, But I know, Abby, you're pretty passionate about what the British Open and the Masters, and those are your two favorites, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, you'd think I'd be passionate about the U.S. Open because it's our national open, and I am. I love seeing pros shoot over par. I think it's fun to see them grind, but there's nothing like the green jacket and the claret jug. There's something, you hear that music, and it's the first major of the year. For a lot of people, it's the start of the golf season. For us golf nuts, you know, we're thinking about it all year long. But for the average fan, the Masters is really where it begins.
Yep.
You know, I've created some replica green jackets before, trying to make the Masters happen. You know, I've done that.
Yeah, that's a side business.
Yeah, sure. A lot of money coming in for it, too, you know.
But I think, you know, we can make our own judgments and laugh about what our favorite majors are. But to the players, it's all the same. They all mean the same. Mm-hmm. And they all have equal importance. So, guys, are we going to see a heavy hitter win it this week? Are we going to see a first-time major winner? I think there's a lot of good storylines. It's just crazy that we were just talking about the British Open. It seemed like yesterday we were on the par train. You know, Royal
just plugging along, you know.
But it's at Baltusrol, and we were just talking about Phil. Well, when the PGA was held here in 2005 at Baltusrol, Phil won it. And he was at the time in his career where he started to win majors. And when the Masters the year before, he comes and wins the PGA. When the Masters the year after, he had not won a major for, you know, 15 years into his career, and then he just starts winning them in bunches. And this is one of the harder PGA courses. I think he shot 4-under, was it, that year?
Yeah, 4-under. And I mean, this thing's 7,400 yards, par 70.
Par 34 on the front, par 36 on the back. That's very rare.
You know why it's par 36 on the back, Matthew?
Give it to me, Evan.
17 and 18. Okay, this isn't conventional, okay? It's just like Phil's claw grip. This is not convention on most golf courses, okay? But it ends par 5, par 5. And the 17th hole, 650-yard par 5. Okay, most par fives have more birdies than anything. This par five has more bogeys than anything. And I believe the only player to ever reach this green in two was John Daly.
Well, I don't know if that's correct, Evan. I think a couple people did, actually. Davis
Are
Love
you was challenging my sources.
I sound like I don't watch the Golf Channel.
okay, bring it to me, man. I want to hear it. Prove me wrong.
Shampley, Nabilo. You know, that's all the crew on them. No, but I think Davis Love in 2005, at least he was greenside, and Vijay in 2005. I mean, these guys were hoisting up three woods. But the point is, it's a hard one to get to, and it's long. It's very, very long. Very long golf course. And I think, you know, are we looking at some of the longer hitters, especially, you know, all 4 days, you know, because those holes are going to, it's going to be great drama, you know, when you have two par fives.
I mean, for sure. We're all hoping for it all to come down to 17 and 18, for sure. I think it's the type of course, it's like the pinnacle of a major championship course. It kind of reminds me of Oakmont and the style of the course. Obviously not as lightning fast greens and not as tough as Oakmont. It's the hardest course in the U.S. But Baltusrol has thick rough. It's long. And they basically set up their obstacles around the course and the hazards so that you can't really just bomb it everywhere. They force players to lay up due to fairway bunkers and such. And I read something earlier that I think this course suits players who really flush the 180 to 220-yard shots, because a lot of the approach shots tend to be that distance.
Yep.
So, it's going to be it's going to be close, Matthew. It's going to be exciting.
Yep, I mean, I think we're looking at guys who really can, you know, who've really been strong with hitting greens in regulation this year. Guys who can hit it high.
Yep.
There's plenty of guys that can do that, Ev.
There is. Should we just start rapid firing?
Yeah. I mean, for those of you who don't know, we're rapid fire guys. We're just trying to, you know, get this train moving, you know. So I say we just dive right into it here, Ev. So we're going to shoot a couple questions at each other and kind of talk it through, but you know, go with your gut. All right, Ev. So more likely to this week, Phil keeping the same grip or Stenson missing the cut?
Wow.
This is question one.
Wow. I mean, you are starting off the train in another gear, aren't you? This one's tough. Okay. It's rapid fire, so I got to be quick. Here we go. I say Phil is more likely to change his grip, and Stenson is going to miss the cut. I'm going to take the grip is going to change for Phil, and here's why. I mean, let's look at last time. The guy, you never know what he's going to do. I would rather say that Stenson gets complacent because he just won a major and it's really hard mentally to get back and try and win another one. So I don't think there's any way that Phil keeps the same grip all week. I'm going with that one.
So you think he's – but Ev, you think he's going to change in the same round, or do you think it's going to be just different from maybe day to day, so to speak?
I think he can do it mid-round.
Because he changed his grip in the final round of the British Open.
Zero bogeys. So I say Stenson's more likely to miss the cut than Phil to keep the same grip all week.
You know, Ev,
what do you say?
I think Stenson's missing the cut. I'll take Stenson missing the cut. I think Phil has got everything in place with his game. He's going to keep it strict and sound. I think Stenson's dry cleaning is still overseas. I mean,
yeah.
I think he's still hung over. I mean,
he's not going to feel like he's at home. Let's be honest. Okay. His clothes aren't there. His claret jug's with him. That's all he's got.
I think it's complete BS that this guy didn't get to do a proper victory tour after winning a major. You know what I mean? I mean, usually you get to go on talk shows. I mean, it's like he's got to play in another one of these things. I just won the British Open, you know?
I know.
So, okay. You know, I'm not sure if that was this is rapid fire, but.
Okay, I got one. I got one for you. I just thought of one. You ready?
Go.
We got to go faster. This is rapid fire, okay? Okay, so would you rather win the career Grand Slam? So that's four majors in your career, but every major. Mm-hmm. Only five players have done that in their life. Or seven majors, no Grand Slam.
You know what?
Make it eight majors. Double the majors. Eight majors, no Grand Slam, or the Grand Slam, four.
Ev, if you're doubling the majors on me, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm taking eight. I'll take the eight majors and no career Grand Slam.
Okay.
What about you?
You know what? I was the same originally. I was thinking about it. I've been thinking about this for a long time, Matthew, okay? I would love to just win like four Masters, four Open Championships.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard myself say that there's only five that's ever done it and you win every one of them, I don't know. I think I got to go Grand Slam. Give me that Grand Slam. You know, I started as a baseball player. Let me finish as one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for the listeners there, that's a good reference. Evan, I think you can go both ways here, but at the end of the day, there's a list, and there's guys who won eight, who won nine, who won 10. It's all to get to 18. Eight compared to four? What did we say, Evan? You agreed with me. They all are equally the same.
I know.
But I love your passion. There's a reason why there's only five guys have done it, because it's so hard to win in all these different kinds of conditions.
Yep, shows that you're a complete player. I'm in. Give me that legacy. Okay, number three, you ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay, what's a better chance? Sergio winning the PGA this week, winning his first major, arguably one of the best players to not win
He's
a major.
Playing so good.
Or the USA winning the Ryder Cup.
Well, I don't know if the USA is ever going to win the Ryder Cup again. No, I'm kidding.
Okay,
but
be careful there.
Mm-hmm. But kind of seriously. Since we're talking about this year, you know, Ev, I think Sergio's got a better chance. If you compare the U.S. team to the European team, I just don't think we continue to stack up. I know it's in America this year in Hazeltine, you know, the Ryder Cup, but I know I'm going with Sergio just because he's playing so well. He's playing so well in the majors. Is he cursed? Maybe, but he's third in greens in regulation. He's third in greens in regulation this year, and I think that's an important stat this week. I'm going with Sergio winning the PGA.
Wow. You better have him in your picks then.
Some people call me a European. Go ahead. You know, I don't care.
Okay, that's a bold statement. You better have him in your picks. Not to be like Kornheiser and Wilbon on Pardon the Interruption, but I got to go USA winning the Ryder Cup. I think Sergio, I think he's got a great chance. I think he could be in contention. But at the end of the day, every time I watch him when he's in contention, he bogeys something from 15 to 17. I think he is absolutely complacent and happy with being in contention and saying that he played well in the majors. But I just don't know if he is that mentally strong to finally get it. And you said USA finally got Davis Love as back as our captain. I think the guys are fired up. They love him. And it's on U.S. soil. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's in the Americans' heads. I mean, Davis can show him remember the Titans all he wants, but something mentally's got to click. So, hey, okay.
When was the last time the Ryder Cup was in the U.S.? What course was that, Matthew?
I'm drawing a blank, Evan. Tell me.
I think it was Medina, Chicago.
That's right.
Was there Tuesday practice round. Okay, one of the best sports weekends of my life. It was my birthday. Cardinals Cubs on Saturday. You took us front row seats. Thank you very much.
That was fun.
Rams Bears. We don't talk about the Rams anymore, but what a weekend. Ryder Cup on that Tuesday. Incredible weekend.
Yeah, except they blew it. Okay. Yeah, they blew it. Mm-hmm. We blew it. Anyways, great weekend for Evan Singer and Ryan Winehouse. We love you, Ryan. Yeah. But okay. Well, that's our first rapid fire concluding there. I think that was kind of fun.
That was fun. I got to say, it was invigorating. I hope the listeners didn't get too freaked out about how fast we were moving there. You know, sometimes the train's got a few gears.
You know, Evan and I, we like to line up our putts, pre-shot routine, a few practice swings. You know, we're methodical guys.
So. I love it. Okay, Matt, give us your two picks, two sleepers.
Two picks? I mean, I got a theme here. It's Phil. First pick.
Wow.
I just think when Phil is hot, when Phil is in the zone, he is as dangerous as anybody. He proved that last week. It started at the World Series, finished through tight T27. He always peaks his game for the majors. I think the swing changes with Andrew Getson too. He's doing. He looks great. I like Phil. He's won at Baltusrol, and he doesn't need to make a million birdies. So his stats, and I really like his short game stats. Top 10 strokes gained on the greens. Sand saves are up there. And you called me out. I'm going with Sergio as well.
Wow.
Number 3 in greens in regulation. I think that's such a huge stat. I think at this point in Sergio's career, I don't think the pressure is on him anymore. I think it's just a matter of just doing it. I mean, I think there was a lot of pressure 8, 10 years ago, especially with the Tiger days. I like him. I like him. You know, he played great at the Open. So those Phil and Sergio, two picks, two sleepers. I don't know if this guy's a sleeper, but, you know, the average listener doesn't know who he is. But Tony Finau, how good is this guy playing?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, third in driving distance. Really like Tony's game. He's just super consistent. And I tell you, I'm in a couple of these different pools, and he's getting picked earlier and earlier, you know, by people, by guys, just because of how consistent he is. I guess he's a sleeper, but, you know, we're going to go with him. And his distance is going to play a huge factor at this golf course, especially. And if it rains, they're calling for scattered storms. The bombers are going to shine.
Bomb away. Bombs away.
Ev, you want my last sleeper?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, his name's Steve Stricker. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Heard of him, Midwest?
I think I have. Wisconsin guy.
Fighting Illini.
Sure.
Steve Stricker has a really fun stat going right now. 21 straight cuts in the majors.
Wow.
Yeah, you like that one? And yeah. He played not too shabby over at your favorite course, Troon, Royal Troon.
Yep.
So I think he's a guy, you know, like I said, you're getting in a pool, you need a guy who's going to make the cut, who's going to, you know, finish in the top 25, maybe in the top 10. Maybe he'll win. He doesn't have a major. Who knows? He's a grinder. I'm going with Steve.
Love it. Okay, so you want two for me. Let's do this.
Yeah.
So I like your picks because they're a little bit unconventional. Maybe not the guys. Well, Phil, obviously. But if these are my picks for guys who I think will actually win, they're not going to be surprising or new, but I think DJ is going to get his second. I mean, it's not a surprise. He's playing better than anyone right now. He has more top tens than anyone. Two wins in the last, 4 weeks? 4 to 5 weeks. And this course, what we talked about, he's long, he's accurate, and I've looked at stats this week, as we talked about, long irons are going to be key. And he is, I believe, in the top 20 of greens and regulations from 200-plus yards.
Key stat.
I think DJ is going to be in the mix. I mean, even look at last week. Look at the Open Championship. People was thinking he wasn't even playing well. And he finished in the top 10 again. Like, he's just finding a way to stick around, and even when he doesn't have his best stuff, it's better than most, and that's so how you know it's special.
You think he's going to be number one by the end of the week?
You know what?
You think he's going to overtake Jason Day?
God, I can't believe you're calling me out on that, because Jason Day is my favorite golfer. You know, I've been following him long before he's number one, met him a couple times when I worked with TaylorMade, and he's the nicest guy. He's the best. Born in the same year, 87, what's good?
Wow.
But yeah, I think he might be the number one player in the world after this, which pains me to say. I really wish Jason, like, my heart tells me that I hope Jason Day wins over him, but DJ is just so dialed right now. Okay, number two, he wasn't the popular pick as of late because of his comments to the media a couple weeks ago, but I really think, he's won two in the last 4 years? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
I think it's got to be Rory. Okay? Think about this. He had, was it top five?
Yeah.
At Troon? Top five at Troon.
Just a quiet top five.
Top five at French. Won the Irish Open.
He was top 10 at the Masters this year too, wasn't he?
You know what? I don't know if he was top 10 at the Masters. We'll have to look that
up. Top 10 at the U.S. Open maybe? I feel like he's got two top 10s this year.
I don't know. We'll ping the stats guy halfway through. Maybe get it by the end of the show. He is as good of a driver. If anybody's going to rival DJ in the driving, it's him. And the fact that nobody's really talking about him, like, obviously he's up there, but he's obviously knows how to win the PGA. And when you keep getting close and you keep getting close, it's only a matter of time until you break through.
Okay.
So
I think
Rory McIlroy could be a five-time major winner at the end of this weekend, which would be crazy. Okay, sleepers?
I want him, Evan.
This guy technically may not be considered a sleeper, Matthew, but he's been playing like shit all year, let's be honest. He's spending a lot of time on his stand-up paddleboard in Mercedes commercials.
I know what you're
on
doing.
On his Snapchat with different actors. I've told other friends I don't think he's focused this year. But I've got a couple reasons as why I'm picking Ricky Fowler.
He's a SoCal guy. They get a little spacey out there. I don't know.
Ricky Fowler is not only great with the long irons, his actual finish at the Open Championship is not indicative to how he played. This is the first time that he's been in contention at a major all year, which I think is really symbolic and important because it gives you that sense as a player and that confidence of, okay, I'm finally back, right? I'm finally in contention again at a big tournament, which is a huge boost of confidence. And then guess what, Matthew? You know, I'm here for the par train folks and all the passengers that hop on, and I'm scouring social channels to try and find little tidbits. And guess what I saw the other day, last week? I'm on Snapchat, you know, one of my favorite platforms.
You're one of the pros.
I see Justin Thomas's Snapchat, hashtag sad face, posting a scorecard between him and Ricky, a little match play. Justin Thomas shot a 68. Guess what Ricky Fowler shot?
61.
He's dropping a 61 late last week, and he was in contention at the Open Championship.
It's because
he hits his long irons well. Are you kidding me?
It's because he had his shirt off, a few Corona Lights in him. He's just, you know, no pressure. You know, I don't think his head's right, Ev. I think you're reaching. I really think you're reaching.
I think anywhere, I don't care who it's, if it's with your buddies or not, you shoot a 61. It means you're hitting a lot of good golf shots, okay? Second sleeper, really quick, my man, the Duffmeister. Okay? Jason
JD.
Duffner.
He's won this thing.
He's won the PGA Championship, okay? He was in contention at Troon. He got a top eight a few weeks ago. He finished eighth, tied for eighth. And he's been in contention off and on all year. And this is the first year in a few where he's kind of getting his swagger back. And he's the type of golfer that's just throws it out there. He's actually really good 200 yards out as well with his long irons.
You and your 200 stats.
It's my stat. I think the way the course is set up, it's forcing layups and long irons in.
We're holding you to it. I like Duff. I think Duff is... I think Duffner's good anywhere. It just comes down to his putting. I don't even know if you call him a streaky putter. I mean, it can go from bad to worse. But, you know, he's got a Hogan-esque swing. He is such a consistent ball striker. So I think you're kind of pitching to the audience that, you know, he's going to put himself in. He's going to ball strike the hell out of the golf course.
Ball strike the hell out of the golf course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay. There it is, folks. I mean, the picks are in.
Wait, I got one more for you.
Oh, you always do this.
Not even a sleeper. I got a question.
Hit me.
Pick a winner this week, but the winner becomes your instant best friend if he wins. So it's a combination of who do you want to be friends with and who do you think could win? Who do you want to win and who do you want to be best friends with? BFFs.
But it's got to be somebody who we think could win.
You know what? Or, forget that. Who do you want to win?
Just anybody.
Become your best friend.
Well, you know, if you want to be completely honest with you, Evan, I'll tell you who it is, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a man who's actually not playing this week.
Whoa.
He was just playing last week in the Senior British Open. He came in second. Miguel Angel Jimenez, okay?
See, now you're just going outside the question. He's not even playing. But go ahead. I'll let you have your little moment.
Did you hear what he said after Saturday night?
I missed it.
He was in the lead. They asked him, what are you going to do tonight to prep? He said he's going to have a fat cigar and a single malt.
Wow. I bet you it wasn't monkey shoulder because that's a little blend.
I mean, so, if I could, hang out with a winner on the PGA Tour, European Tour, and become instant best friends and live that lifestyle, I got to go with Miguel. But if it's somebody playing this week, who do I think's like just really cool? I'll tell you who I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't pick Jim Furyk. He seems kind of boring.
Yeah, you don't want to see him with that hat off, real white, you know?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't pick Bubba. No time for that guy.
Nope.
I don't know, Ev. I mean, I think, how do you not say Ricky Fowler?
I mean, you'd be all over that Snapchat.
I mean, are you? I guess that's a safe pick, going with Ricky.
Okay.
I don't know, though. Beef's pretty fun.
Oh, Andrew Johnson, huh?
Have you seen this guy?
This guy's great. Got that beard. I thought about picking him this week, actually. We still got time. We could.
You love to just pick. I'm going with Ricky. With Ricky. He just does a little bit of everything.
All right, I'm between two guys, Matthew. You ready?
Yep.
I'd either go Stenson, just in the fact that I could go out and drink out of the claret jug. I'd go Smiley Kaufman because that kid, that rookie, is the man. He's a Bama native, went to LSU. A lot of people don't remember this, but he was the one in the final group with Spieth, and they're all buddies. He was obviously on the spring break crew that we all wish that we could be on. I want to say, I just want a chance. I really think that we'd all get along. I kind of want to get in this crew of Justin Thomas, Smiley Kaufman, Ricky Fowler, that private jet.
You're an LA guy. You might run into him. I mean,
I would love it.
You know, I don't know. The more I think about this, I think the Europeans would be just so much fun. These guys know how to party. They know how to dress. You know, I mean, hanging out with Westwood and,
Yeah, that would be pretty great, actually.
Danny Willett, you know.
Sure.
And,
play that baby cut all day long.
Yeah, just hold it off and win the Masters. So we can talk about this all day, but the point is, I think what we're trying to say is we would just love to be not necessarily just on the PGA Tour, but in the inner circle of a PGA store. PGA Tour
hey,
star.
Those superstores are great. I'm not going to deny that. I wouldn't mind going in there, getting a couple gear. You know,
I'd like to work part time. You know, just to get free equipment, but can't do it.
What's funny about that question, Matthew, is if someone was back playing, I think you might have said Tiger.
Oh, well, Ev, as we all know, Tiger did announce earlier this.
Oh, nice segue.
Well, I take this topic seriously. You know, you didn't want to discuss it on the train in episode one, but he finally said, I'm not playing in the PGA. It's a little bit of little by little the whole year. Oh, I'm not playing in this. I'm not playing in that. Well,
yep.
He's out for the rest of the year, and that's a fact.
Whole year.
Ev, I'll do a quick rapid fire just on Tiger for you. What is the bigger hurdle, his physical health or his mental health for the year 2017?
Mental.
I agree.
And here's why. He is arguably the best player that's ever played, okay? You take a look at his records, it's unbelievable. It was like 682 days at number one. Do you know how absurd? Straight days. Or no, weeks. 682 weeks. Sorry. Huge difference.
Evan, we don't talk about this guy's statistics.
Okay. So everybody knows. But the fact that you could be that good and win a major with a broken leg and forget how to chip the ball And I just, I don't know. I told you at last time in episode one, I love watching the interviews. I love to get a sense of where someone's head's at, yep. get a sense for their energy and their overall attitude. I feel sorry for Tiger every time he goes to a tournament. I just can't imagine being that good for so long and going to tournaments and not knowing where the ball is going. I mean, to be that good, he's just putting so, you can tell he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he hasn't learned yet, in my opinion, he hasn't learned how to just play. He hasn't remembered how to just play. He's putting so much pressure on himself that he needs to forget about the record, forget about being good, and just get back to just playing shots and, like, find a way to be in contention. And then sooner or later, if he can play, I mean, that's the next question, isn't it? Is he going to win another major? Is that the question?
Well, Evan, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but, you know, I think we're both agreeing on his mental state, but physically, the guy's got problems with his body.
He's broken.
I mean, the knee surgeries, the back surgeries, you know, all the stuff that's come out about his, you know, Navy SEAL training, all this stuff. I mean, his body's broken, but, you know, his body's been broken, his head's been broken, and his golf swing's been broken. Okay, so when I say mental, I think he needs to figure out how he wants to swing the golf club. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I don't think he can swing it like he did in 1999 and 2000. He can't. But he shouldn't have never went to Sean Foley. You know, and then, you know, who's he with? Chris Como now. Yeah. He's so mechanically, you know.
He's too mechanical.
He's just become he's become an extreme technician. But he's got to figure out, and he's got to commit to swinging the golf club. At least it's something natural, you know. Like, you know, whether it's a blend of the Haney and Butch days,
yeah.
I think he's got to free up his takeaway a little bit. He's got to, you know, he looks so stiff out there, doesn't he? And so I think that's the biggest thing. He's got to decide, you know, I got to get some more feel back in my golf game.
I got a crazy stat for you, and I got a crazy prediction.
That's
crazy
it.
Stat. Is I love Tiger stats. Woods has had more surgeries than top 10 since 2014.
Wow.
How about that for a stat, folks? But, I mean.
But what is crazy, too, though, Evan, in 2013, he won five times.
I know.
Five times. Do you know, we know how hard it is as fans to win three or four times for these PGA Tour players. He won five times. Nobody remembers that. He's working with Foley. I still didn't like, but it just shows you how talented he was.
So talented.
He was pretty healthy that year. So, you know, I think he was committed to that swing. It wasn't the right swing, but he was committed to it, and, you know, he was somewhat healthy. So, Ev, here we go. I think we can sum it up with Tiger now. Is he going to play in all four majors next year?
I think he will, and here's my prediction. He plays in all four majors. He kind of has a good Thursday, Friday at the Masters, then kind of fades off, struggles a bit throughout the year, and then guess what happens in August 2017 at Quail Hollow? He gets number 15, okay?
You think so?
He finds his way all year, gets his first major at Quail Hollow, where he won Wells Fargo in 2007, knows the course.
Sure.
And I think it's going to take him a full year of competitive golf, and hopefully he's taken all the time he needs to come back slow, make sure his body's right, and hopefully finds his way to just play free again and win the last major of 2017.
Evan, I don't think he wins a major next year. I think he plays 14 or 15 tournaments.
You think he ever wins one again?
I don't know. If you had asked me right now, no.
Wow.
I don't. I guess we'll have to see what he looks like, right? See the swing. I think there's a chance he might win a tournament next year. But, you know, if he can't get at least a consistent schedule of playing, you know, a couple tournaments in a row or whatever, he's always going to be off. So I guess we're always going to talk about Tiger, but I'd love to see what that swing is going to look like next year. But right now, Evan, he's never winning a major again.
Hey, you heard it here first, folks. Not like you never heard this topic before, but Matthew Cermak just made a statement. Okay.
That's going to be a great week, Evan. We got a great PGA Championship week. It's going to be a ton of fun. you know, we're, you know, I'm sure you're gonna be watching it.
Oh yeah.
You know, tuning in. But what's what else is going on with you?
Well, I just got some weird news this morning. My arch rival and nemesis, the Chicago Cubs, you know, for this year for the first time in what feels like 100, is leading the NL Central, and they just got a top-notch closer from the Yanks over in New York. Is that true?
Is his last name Chapman?
I think it is, and I know how excited you are. So let me just stop you right there, okay? I know what you're doing, and I know what the Cubs are doing. They're saying, God, we got something going right now, and we know how the Cardinals play in the second half. We just need to try and win this year and just cut off this 100-plus year drop. But let me tell you, you really put it to us in the first half, but what's happened since the All-Star break? Have the Cardinals started to win close games? Has Adam Wainwright, our ace, started to pitch like an ace again? Are we, as of right now, going to win the wild card, but hopefully really give you a run for your money? Don't forget about that series, August 11th through the 14th in Chicago, that four-game series between Cardinals-Cubs at Wrigley.
Folks, folks, you're listening to this delusion right there. You know what I mean? we love Evan, but he's delusional. You're delusional, Evan. I mean, yes. You're 7.5 back right now, and you're celebrating. I thought this was the Cardinals were a rich history of winning. You know, they won so much, and now this is what it's come to. How pumped you are to be 7.5 back?
Well, I'm not pumped really? About the 7.5 back, but I'm pumped to see the team starting to actually play. Okay, we are third in the NL in run differential, and we're definitely not third in record. So it's just the law of averages, Matthew. It's going to turn around, and we're going to give you a run for your money. And here's why. You want to know why we're going to give you a run for your money come September?
Is that Skip Bayless over there? Who am I talking to right now?
It's because you guys haven't done it before. And when you're on top all year long and it starts to get close come the end, the nerves start to surface and all the pressure resides on that 100-year monkey on your shoulder. Okay, we've done it. We've been there.
You Cardinal fans are living in a bubble. Who did you guys lose to convincingly in the first round of the playoffs last year?
Don't remind me, okay? That was not good. But you know what?
That's already been taken care of. Obviously, it is about who gets hot in the playoffs. But this team with Chapman now, and we got Montgomery from Seattle. We had two lefties in our bullpen. We move everyone down. I mean, you know, we don't need to talk about Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. You know, Dexter Fowler's healthy. Evan, even you know this team. Now they got to stay healthy. But I don't think we've ever seen a midseason move like this. Most people say, don't touch the team. Don't do anything. Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein, these guys are serious. And I love it. I love it, Evan.
Yeah, well, hopefully I think we'll add probably a mid reliever, add a little depth. We also got to get Trevor Rosenthal in shape a little bit. His game at the end, his closing abilities have been shaky all year. Hopefully we can help him find his command. But I'm telling you what, I'm not making any crazy claims, but I know it's going to be close come September, and that's all I want. It's like any golfer on Sunday. You just hope to be in contention. I know we're going to be in contention.
God.
And all I hope for is a playoff series. Okay,
yeah.
If we have a playoff series, I might fly out. We can have the Partrain show in Chicago. It could be great.
Ev, let's just end the suspense. You guys aren't going to make the playoffs. We are. I'll let you jump on the bandwagon. And when the Cubs win it all, we can have a huge party. Okay?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Okay? Those logos, it's not my style. I like that red and white.
I'll fly you up from L.A. We'll get you a Cubs hat, maybe some socks, and blah, blah.
Enjoy
the end of the drought. Anyway, but that's not the only thing that's happening in Chicago these days, Evan. I was at the Coldplay concert last night. I gotta get this on the air. And as a big fan for a lot of years, this is my first time seeing them. They were unbelievable. And I know you've seen them before, and you're another big fan of Chris and the boys. And they lit up Soldier Field. It was absolutely spectacular, Evan. I mean, they are right up there with you two for me and just arena stadium shows. Absolutely incredible.
The way that Chris Martin runs around the stage, spinning around, I don't know how he stays upright. You think he'd get dizzy.
running around, but then he's playing guitar, he's on the piano, the band's moving around, they're playing their acoustic instruments, got these bracelets on, the whole place is lit up. I tell you what, it was a great way to spend a Sunday night in the Second City.
Did they play Fix You? Everyone sung along?
They played Fix You. They played Yellow, Scientist, Viva La Vida. It was a good mix of the catalog. No, it was absolutely incredible.
Sounds like an adventure of a lifetime. See what I'm doing there?
I see what you're doing. You're good at it. But I think with the PGA this week, I will say this: I'm going to be hitting the links also on Saturday morning, playing early 7:30 tee time.
Love it. What's better than playing early, coming back, and watching a major?
Maybe having a cold beer along with you watching a major.
Love that. Point to Matthew. You know what? That's a great point. Hopefully I'll be playing. I'm going to Las Vegas from Thursday to Sunday with the lady and her family. We like to sleep in on this trip. Been once before, but I think I might bring the sticks. There's a golf course in Las Vegas, 15 minutes off the strip, called Royal Lynx Golf Club. That is a Scotland replica, a Lynx course in Las Vegas. Can you
love Royal
Troon.
I get it. You want the Royal Lynx. But did you say sleep in Vegas? I've never heard of that. What do you mean?
Yeah, they like to, catch up on sleep. It's not the traditional Las Vegas trip. You know, it's relaxing, pool time.
Are we going to Branson or Las Vegas? I'm confused. But,
oh, man.
Well, we'll hope you hit it well out there.
Yeah. You just let me know if you have any people you want me to place a bet on for you while I'm there. Might even play some Cardinal bets as well, a little four-game series versus the Rangers, I believe.
Remember we were playing Pie Gal out there for Ryan's bachelor party? That was good fun.
Incredible. You can play all day, get free drinks. Incredible tip for everyone out in Vegas. Little Pie Gal.
In case you didn't know.
Little Pie Gal. Mm-hmm. Heard of it?
We have.
Okay. So. Matthew, this is episode 2. Can you believe it? We're already done.
I feel like the train is going 80 miles per hour right now, and we're on the tracks. We're on the tracks.
I feel like the value of the PAR train tickets keep going up, and people keep trying to get on, and we just got to keep making our stops. We got to keep letting people on. If people are saying fire hazard, forget it. Let's pack those overhead containers. Let's get everybody on, shall we?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, who's going to be our first? Who's gonna be our first guest? I mean, people are knocking at the door right now.
We got to talk about it.
But, you know, ticket prices are going up. So, we're excited. This is great, Ev. I'm pumped. We got the PGA. Glory's last shot. Here we go.
All right. So you guys can follow us on @ThePARTrain on Twitter. Who knows? We might even create a website soon. You know, we're just going to let things kind of come as they come.
Maybe an Instagram handle, mostly action shots of Evan out on the course. You know, just lining up putts. And
snap stories. You name it. It's going to be great. Guys. We appreciate you tuning in. This is going to be a great week. Matt, have yourself a great week. Would you I'll be talking to you throughout the week. Let's see how our picks hold up. You know they held up well in that episode 1.
Well, we know how to do this. So, you know, feel free to give us credit, you know, if you pick a winning pick because of this podcast. So,
all right, go Cardinals, Matt.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Been a pleasure.
Adios.